Wingstop's doing what they do best, taking flavor to the next level. So when chicken sandwiches only came in spicy and plain, Wingstop said, nah, make it 12 flavors. Lemon pepper chicken sandwich, OG hot, mango habanero. You get the picture? Every famous Wingstop flavor, now on the new Wingstop chicken sandwich. Try all 12 and find your favorite at Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Huh.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left here on this December 8th, 2022. And tonight we have a lot to get to tonight, so we start off with a guard right there. He's standing guard right there, Greg Zumbar.
Good evening, everybody.
He's the courageous one. Now, they got loose. Somehow they got out of the boiler room, and they're right in here with me, right here in the studio with me. None other than that radical Randy Gay.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
And Eric there is there.
Good evening, brethren. I have here a prayer to the Holy Spirit for all the unsaved Christians in the world. Blessed Holy Spirit, please direct all the unsaved people to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the Nazarene, so that they will repent and that he may give them all salvation, and that they in turn will spread the Lord's truth and wisdom, as that when they leave this world, God Almighty, our Holy Father, will welcome them with open arms into his realm of everlasting life, peace, and love. Amen.
Amen.
All right, very good. That was unexpected. Just kind of just popped right, just happened, huh?
Well, you ought to let us out more often.
All righty. Very good. Now, we got to get into it. We got a lot to talk about tonight, so the title of the message was Weep and Howl, You Go To Now. Weep and Howl, You Rich Men. And we're going to pick it up where we left off in Nehemiah chapter 5. And Randy, you pick it up in verse 1 and read all the way through verse 12.
So you said 4 to 12?
No, 1.
Verse 1, okay. Mm-hmm. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were what said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Wherefore, we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, our houses, and that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards, And yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons, our daughters, to servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these works. And when I consulted with myself, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will you even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. And I said, it is not good that you do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? And I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, also the hundredth part of money, and of the corn, the wine, the oil, and that ye exact. Then said they, we will restore them, we will require nothing of them, so will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests.
Okay, now there you go. That's enough. Now, here, what do you see? You're seeing a lot of these Jews that returned out of the exile back there to Jerusalem, and here they had made a lot of money, and they were good where it came to businessmen, and they came back with a lot of money. Now, those that had stayed there, worked on the walls, you know, these were not wealthy people. So these rich Jews that came back had all of this money. And so what did they do with this money? Well, they decided, let's lend it to these people here. And some of these people here, the only thing they own maybe is they own some land. So we'll lend this money to them, and a lot of it, and then we'll charge them usury.
They became loan sharks.
Yeah. No. Well, but the way it worked was, if you missed a payment, then they would take your property. Then, if you missed another payment, you still had to take. They would take your children.
Yeah.
And they would put your children into servanthood.
So this is like a land contract of sorts.
Well, like you said, no, you were more on when you said loan sharks. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what happened here? Nehemiah, you know, knew what God's word, the Bible said. God found on this thing. God says, no, we don't charge the brethren usury. We don't do that. And so Nehemiah went and told them, stop it right now and see. What did they know about Nehemiah? Well, they knew that God favored Nehemiah. And they knew that if they were to cross him, they already saw what happened to those who crossed Nehemiah
before. And then he had the authority of the king also. So,
right.
So they were afraid of that too.
So when Nehemiah told them, look, you're going to stop this this day because those people that you're taking in, set them back, let them free, give them their land back, give them their property back. And so they feared God, and they did that. And that was a good thing, wasn't it?
That was an excellent thing.
Well, now, how would that apply today? Do you think 87,000 IRS agents out there today are out there to make the middle class, the mom-and-pop stores prosper? Or do you suppose that they're going to be going after a lot of the mom-and-pop stores? And those that can't pay their taxes, they're going to be taking their property?
Yes, they will. And they'll sell off their stuff at auction. They'll do it rapidly so that maybe some of the people that could have gotten out of it won't be able to.
But they're not going to go after the billionaires, are they?
No. As a matter of fact, the laws will favor the rich. They're going to favor them.
Okay. And why is it? Who? What party do the 10 richest U.S. senators belong to?
But, you know, nobody will believe it, but we all know it's the Democrats. People still think, but that's typical Democrat stuff, that they're going to always accuse the opposition of what they're doing. People still think that the Republicans have all their money. People don't realize that really until recently, Bezos, Gates, Warren Buffett, I mean, all the guys with Elon Musk and all those, they're Jews. They're Democrats. They're Democrats.
Well, yeah, but a lot of them are Jews, but they're not.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying they're
Jews. The Lord
Jews,
Jesus referred to, how did Jesus refer to them? No, when you're right, when you look at Chuck E. Schumer, Bill Gates.
Right, Schumer, yeah, that's what I was thinking of, yeah. Come on, Pelosi. She's worth $300 million.
Yeah, yeah. When she first ran into Congress. What did Truman, President Truman, said? He made a statement.
He said, "Show me a man who entered into politics and got rich, and I'll show you a crook."
Right. He was dead right, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Come on, $120,000 a year, and 4 years later, you're worth $20 million. That's a nice job.
Yeah, now, she was, when it came to the stock market and trading, she had some real help, didn't she?
Yeah, it's some insider information, a little insider information.
Like a whole lot of insider information. And she's known for inside trading. All right, so the rich Jews who brought their money with them back to Israel, again, when they would lend these large sums, and they wanted to, you know what, I think I'm going to be preaching on this. A good message would be, if you were to go to read Luke chapter 16, verses 8 and 9.
16, 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Okie dokie. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.
And so what does he tell? Now, is he being a tad bit sarcastic there?
Well, the answer is yes and no, because the truth of the matter was that the unjust steward said he couldn't work, he couldn't dig, and that he knew he was getting ready to lose his job. So what he did was he provided a parachute, if you will. He knew he was getting ready to kicked out of the plane. He was going to make sure he had a parachute.
All right. But if you go back, did he do right by his master to begin with? No, he
Well, no, he didn't.
When the master come back and said, all right, look, where's my money? I want my money. What did he do? He ran out and he said, look, I can't get it all, but I'll get parts of it.
So, right.
And he talked him into it. Now, but he was making the point that the children of this world are wiser, but he's not just referring to making money. They're wiser in a lot of things when it comes to manipulation. Where it comes to elections would be one of the things. And remember, there's nothing new under the sun, okay? And so that's what he's referring to. He said, but the idea is, when he's telling them what's going to happen, they're going to have an everlasting habitation because of what? Well, because of their dishonest gain. And that dishonest gain is not going to get them what they want in the end, is it?
No, it's not. Absolutely not.
Okay, there you go. Now, let's go back to where we started. We started in here.
Nehemiah 5.
No, we started in 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Okay.
And we're going to start with verse 11.
Okay.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11.
I got the pages sticking here. Okay. There we go. Verse 11, okay. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on everlasting life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who also hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom is be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen.
All right, here. When he started back in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And so he was telling them that what he was referring to, there were those that were coming, the prosperity preachers of that day. Yep. And the prosperity preachers, he was warning Timothy, don't get in the ministry. If you stand in that pulpit and preach, don't do it for money. Don't get in the ministry for money. Get in the ministry. If God calls you, whether you get paid for it or not, okay? And so that's the point that he's making. And he's telling them that because those that get in there for money, he refers to as, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, rallyings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, and from such withdraw thyself. Give me some examples of where, let's say, some of the prosperity preachers are teaching false doctrines.
Well, was it Gloria Olstein says that that God exists for us and we don't exist for him? That's the gist of it. I don't think that's the exact quote.
Well, no, what she said, it's not about God. It's not about us.
Okay, it's not about, right.
But that's okay. So here you go. Now, did the Lord Jesus say, get your stuff now while you can because you might not make it to heaven? Or did he say, place up your crowns in heaven? Place up your crowns in heaven, right?
Lay up treasures in
heaven.
Lay
up treasures where moth won't eat, okay?
And won't where rust.
It won't rust. Fire can't burn it. Now, let me ask you this. Thieves can't steal it, your crowns. So he's talking about an eternal, something totally different than the material things here. Now, Joel Osteen says to live the good life when?
Now.
To get the good life now. Now, let me ask you this. What is the good life? The here and now, what we have in this world, or hereafter?
No, hereafter, in the presence of Christ, is where the true good life is.
Okay, so if we compare what we have here now, how much money would it take to keep you and I from continuing to age?
From, say it again now.
How much money would it take to keep you and I from aging?
not there's not enough down here to do that.
Now look at Eric. He's right at the end of aging. I mean, he's right there. Okay, the next step is room temperature. It ain't no further. No. So all the money in the world, so all the money can't keep that. Now, when we get to heaven, are we going to age?
Of course not. No.
Okay. So now, you know I've been walking around with this broken shoulder waiting to get repaired, right?
Amen. That's right.
And this broken shoulder don't feel good. I mean, it doesn't do my sleeping schedule any good at all, okay? But I think the good Lord above, because I got some ladies in the church, and one of them's got that machine called the Rife machine, and she knows how to use that. And she comes home and puts that thing on my shoulder, and it takes away the pain.
Oh, wonderful.
But now, please, folks, don't be calling me, because the only thing I know about it is it works, okay? It's all. I don't know where to buy them. I don't know how to operate them. I don't know any of that, okay, because I get phone calls from all over wanting to know. But you see, so the point of it is, in the heaven, There's no pain. There's no sickness. We don't have cancer in heaven, right? And not only that, but we don't have corruption. This is what he says here. Come with envy, strifes, rallyings, evil surmisings, and perverse disputings. Why? Whether teaching a false doctrine. What did Kenneth Copeland says that you can take this book, this Bible,
right,
and you can make God cough up the goodies, right?
Right, that's exactly right, yeah.
Is that what the Bible teaches?
Well, no. I mean, like we're reading it right here. That's not what the Bible teaches.
Well, I mean, you know, doesn't the Bible does teach it? You have not because you ask not, but if you pray and you ask the Lord.
But what Jesus, about the rest of it that you ask amiss?
Right.
So it isn't about asking, it's about asking amiss.
So then you're referring to asking in accordance with the will of God.
Right.
So when Jesus said that all things, God will give you all things, he was only referring to things that are in the will of God, right?
That's correct.
How do we know that, right? Yeah, I mean, see, that's not what the prosperity preachers teach. Now, also what they teach is that repentance is not necessary for salvation.
That's right.
But is that what the Lord Jesus said? What was the very first thing he preached on?
Oh, it was on repentance. That's exactly right. It was on repentance.
And so repentance before you can receive salvation, there must be repentance, right?
That's right.
Okay, so all of these things where he refers to disputings of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdrew thyself. Now, here, one of the things that the Jews, a common belief of the Jews there, was that people that were rich and wealthy were rich and wealthy because God favored them, because they were blessed of God, because he favored them. And they were better people than the people that were not rich. The people that were poor were despised because they weren't good people. Is that what the Bible teaches?
That's not what the Bible teaches. But you know, I guess on a little bit on the side, Eddie, there, didn't even the disciples, weren't they shocked when Jesus taught on that it was being possible for a rich man to go to heaven? Yeah. I think that they reacted to that because they initially thought that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's because that's what they were taught.
Yeah, that's what they were taught, right. But I'm just saying even initially they were, you know, thinking that way.
So when you look at that today and you look at the prosperity preachers of today, for he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you see Creflo Dollar, what's her name? Joyce Meyer. Okay. I think one of the worst is Kenneth Copeland. He's supposed to be the wealthiest of them all. Okay,
and he said T.D. Jakes is kind of high up that list too.
Well, T.D. Jakes says, "I want my stuff now."
No, that's right.
I don't want to wait for my stuff.
That's
okay?
Right.
That's the problem. Why do you think he wants it now? Do you think maybe he doesn't really expect he's going to get it?
That's what I think. Yeah, sure.
That could be a good part of it there. So anyhow, so that was it. What he's referring to. Let me go. I want to jump ahead. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He said here, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high minded nor trust in uncertain things, riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, the problems we're having today is in our country, all of these sponsoring these death camps, sponsoring this depopulation, sponsoring the abortion mills. These are all rich, filthy rich. George Soros, everything that's evil, buying prostitutes, he calls them, they call them attorney generals. These are whores. The Bible says that they're whores, okay?
Amen.
They're selling themselves. So if you go over to Hosea, and Hosea in chapter 4, he compares with two different types of whores, those that are physical and those that are not. And he was talking about the men. He was talking to the men who were the leaders. And he was telling them one of their punishments that they're going to receive from him was that He is going to turn their wives and daughters into whores, physical whores, you know, whorish women. But he's not going to punish the wives and daughters. He's going to punish the men because you were whores first, but they were whores, spiritual whores, and they were whores where it came to obedience to God, huh?
But to me, that's all about that's proof of the piercing yourself, if you will, with many sorrows. Because what you do is that it's the love of money, and money causes a person to, shall we say, become a little bit looser morally. The temptation of the great gain, and you're sort of, it's almost like, let us do evil so that good can come, and that you're going to acquire this money, and money tempts people. I mean, think about it. The love of money is the root of all evil, because you can pretty much buy anything. Yeah. If you get willing to give them enough
money. Doesn't have any intrinsic value.
No, it's amoral.
The love of that love money. Of money. You can do good, a lot of good things with money.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, come on, if nothing else, feed,
clothes, and
children.
It's the same thing with fire, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fire, you can do a lot of good or a lot of damage. Now, I'll tell you who does a lot of damage, and of course we know that's those on the left. Here, Project Veritas interviews Joe Bruno. Now, Joe Bruno does a lot of wicked, evil things. He's the dean of students at Francis W. Parker School, and he brags about teaching students about queer sex. And we're going to take a break, and then right after the break, we're going to listen.
Oh yeah,
we're going to hear from Joe.
Sure.
Morning on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
"Teacher, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life."
So I put my arm around her, and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she would see the light. Two souls were saved. Both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away. There's no way to run. And Joel was
please Him while you're able.
He's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I will separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need a Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish preaching,
woman was a believer. A baby in her womb. I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away. Not just to please Him.
Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son. You got to know how to please Him.
Not just to please Him.
Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count. Please sing while you're able.
like our LGBTQ plus health center come in. They were passing around butt plugs and dildos to my students, talking about queer sex, using lube versus using spit.
Meet Joe Bruno, Dean of Students at the prestigious Francis W. Parker Private School in Chicago, which happens to charge $40,000 per student.
Well, they're just like passing around dildos, butt plugs. The kids are just playing with them. They're like, how does this butt plug work? How do we do, like, how does this work? That's a really, like, cool part of my job.
Parents might be stunned to learn that Bruno's version of love and acceptance means handing out sex toys to underage students.
So I've been the dean for 4 years. During Pride, we do a Pride Week every year. And I had like, our LGBTQ plus health center come in. They were passing around butt plugs and dildos to my students, talking about queer sex, using lube versus using spit.
Who is this?
This is an LGBTQ plus health center came in to talk to my high school students.
Nice.
They're just like passing around dildos, butt plugs. The kids are just playing with them. They're looking at them.
In the school?
In a classroom.
Wow.
Yeah. While I'm sitting there. Then we had a drag queen come in, pass out cookies and brownies and do photos.
It's so amazing. And everybody's cool with that, like the butt plugs and the dildos. Yeah. No big complaints.
No.
I mean, if the parents found out, would they?
No. It's queer sex. This is the drag queen that came in.
What's her name?
Alexis Bevels.
Alexis Bevels.
And just hung out in my classroom.
And was there?
Or hung out in my office.
You have so much freedom. So much wiggle room.
So much freedom. So much money.
I mean,
to do stuff.
Trustees are okay with that too? They don't know.
They would. It's like, I wouldn't even like run it by them. Like, why would I run it by them? They'd be like, oh my God, that's wonderful.
Like, yeah. How old were the kids at with the classroom?
14, 18. They're like, how does this book work? How do we do, like, how does this work?
Right.
So yeah, that's a really like cool part of my job is I don't have to worry about stuff like that.
Years ago, if we would have heard this, we would have said that he's a space cadet, and that would never happen in a school. I mean, parents would never allow their children. Why, those parents would have to all be pedophiles. Those parents themselves would have to be pedophiles. And, of course, they would never allow that. Parents, you know, parents would care too much for their children if they're spending $40,000 a year to send them to school. Certainly, they would not be so, well, I guess, reprobate. That's the word. They would not be so reprobate because, you know, what does the Bible say about those that harm children?
Oh, come on. They may as well have the millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea, to the bottom of the sea.
So it's God kind of frowns on that, huh?
Yeah, I think he really doesn't like that. However, we have parents who don't know what a woman is.
Yeah, well, if I were to meet any of the parents from that particular school, if I was just to meet them, they would tell me that their children attend that school. The first thing I'd say, well, then you're more than likely... you're a sodomite, aren't you? Okay.
Right.
And because they would naturally think that because of that. So, folks, I want to tell you, you talk about being reprobate. What do we just read, too? Now, if they're spending $40,000 a year to have their children become queers, I don't know.
Well, what they do is they send them to Harvard. I have an article here that they send them to Harvard. And it says, Harvard Musical sings praises for gay Judas who seduces Jesus. And this is from Headline. This is today's date off of Headline USA. Just in time to thank the Christmas season, a group of social justice snowflakes at Harvard University produced a play that managed to simultaneously insult and demean basic Christian tenets. And it says the name of the play is called Iscariot, portraying Judas Iscariot as a gay man, possibly non-binary, gender fluid with strong transgender leanings, who falls in love with Jesus. The woke theatrical production reimagines Judas Iscariot as a queer Asian American high school senior who falls in love with Jesus, betrays him, and begins to take control of his own narrative. Not content to smear a whole religion on stage with nightly theatrical runs, the Instagram page for Iscariot also marked Jesus. I won't get into some of this. I think it might be a little bit raw for the air. Since the production received rough reviews from Twitter. Now, here's what one of the Twitter critics wrote. Wow, what a great anti-Christian idea for a musical. Of course, this is all sarcastic. When are you going to do something similar about Muhammad and Islam? I'll wait, unquote. Now, wrote another critic while another tweeted, like there's isn't enough of this woke theater going on. You got to wreck something so holy. This is blasphemy at the highest level. And it says the show's producers said that the show doesn't contain any anti-Christian message, claiming it's just a show about a boy finding himself, losing himself, and then finding himself again in the process. What a contradiction.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is there any known source of absolute authority?
God. The source of absolute is God. That's yeah.
Okay, so and that authority that God has is defined specifically where?
Oh, here.
In the Bible.
In the Bible.
Right in God's Bible. Word, the yeah. Bible. So now this here, absolute authority, I mean the absolute authority, it's the only perfect source of knowledge. In other words, we can look at this, the Word of God, and understand its absolute truth. I mean, it's, you know, you can't, you can argue with it, but you'll lose. There's no way you can argue with God and win. Okay, no one's ever won an argument with God, because God is omnipotent, right?
Yes.
Omniscient and omnipresent, and he's infallible. So now, how does this word, the word of God, this authority here, define the people at Harvard that you just referred to?
Oh, abominations, I think would be the word more than anything else. They would be reprobates also, because they'd be beyond feeling. So they would call them reprobates, probably everything that's bad, fornicators, whatever you want to call
it. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1. Go to yeah, turn okay. to Romans
yeah,
chapter 1.
Absolutely.
Start with verse 18. And it kind of tells you there. I mean, it doesn't stutter.
Verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools."
There you go. Hold it. Professing themselves to be wise. Now, this is exactly what you're having from this Harvard. Now,
sure.
In the old days when we were growing up, boy, you could be as dumb as you wanted, you know, on a cheap. It didn't cost you anything. I mean, you could be a flat out fool for hardly anything. Today, to prove that you're a complete fool, that you're as big a fool as you can possibly be, don't you have to have credentials? Don't you have to say, look, I'm a Harvard fool, or I'm a Yale fool, okay?
You know what's sad is that all of those places were divinity schools in the beginning.
Yeah.
All of them started out, Harvard, Yale, Brown, all of them started out as Dartmouth. They started out as divinity schools.
Yeah, they did that. Well, if you take a look at Karl Marx, Lenin, these guys went to
Harvard.
Seminary.
And
well, they didn't go to Harvard, but they went to seminary.
Yeah.
You know, again, that's where the devil goes, and he does his looking for candidates. Okay. But so, again, so today we're living at a time when to be as big a fool as you can be, you can't do that on the cheap. You've got to spend large amounts of money to be dumbed down. Now, let me ask you a question, because if someone's willing to spend a lot of money to become stupid, I mean, this is what we're talking about.
What comes to my mind is Shakespeare's, isn't it Shakespeare that said, a fool and his money is soon parted?
Yeah.
And that is exactly what that is.
Yeah. And so there you go. But now he's talking about the things that they're talking about, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Now, here.
But what about the next verse, which kind of sums it up? There's your fool. For the creature gave themselves up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I mean, it's even against nature.
Yeah, absolutely. And he goes on to saying, likewise also men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust, one toward another. Now, did you ever notice something? It doesn't mention any binaries here. Okay.
Yeah,
There's no trans. Right?
Just two sexes in this whole.
So if God only recognizes two genders, I mean, if the greatest source of intelligence, the absolute perfect intelligence, the ultimate intelligence, only recognizes two genders, then those that recognize 100 or whatever, okay. They would be categorized as fools, wouldn't they? I mean, can you argue with God and win? No?
Okay. Well, no, that's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, look, who would know better than the Creator?
Right, what he created things to be and for.
So if he created them and he made them, okay, then there shouldn't be anyone have any more knowledge about them, huh?
Yeah.
And so he goes, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. There you go. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This is what we see at NBC, ABC, CBS. We see this. You know, when you were reading the last verses in 1 Timothy 6, when you were reading that, the last verses referred to science, falsely so-called.
Right,
he told Timothy, don't, you know, avoid vain babblings. In other words, about science, falsely so-called. Okay, I think we got John McTernan joining us here. Big John, are you there?
Yes, you do, Pastor Ernie. I've been listening.
Oh, have you? Well, we're just referring to here some of the articles we had. There's some amazing things about what took place there at Harvard. With these people. Well, go ahead and read that again, Randy.
27 and 28?
No, about Harvard.
About Harvard, the article? Yeah. Sure, I'll do it again. Yeah, let me pull it back.
And we were talking about here very quickly.
The Harvard Musical sings to praises for a gay Judas who seduces Jesus. The article's dated today. The name of the musical is Iscariot. And it here, and I'll skip down to the middle of it. It says it was performed at Harvard during the past week, portraying Jesus Iscariot as a gay man, possibly non-binary, gender fluid with strong transgender leanings, and falls in love with Jesus. And Judas Iscariot is depicted as a queer Asian American high school senior who falls in love with Jesus. Betrays him, learns to take control of his own, and learns to take control of his own narrative. Now, and I'll just stop there. But that's what you've got, and the gist of the play, John, going into it, the part that I didn't read this on the air is that they basically team up together, and they to win the prom king, and then the shenanigans start. And that's where the betrayal is.
So let me ask you this then. Would they fall into here? These are the people that are referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, their judge, that they will be before at the white throne. And they are referring to him as something that he has called an abominable thing, an abominable. You know, there's four times or five in the Bible where the Sodomites are referred to as dogs, okay? And so they're referring to the creator of the universe, they're referring to God in a blasphemous way as, well, as a dog or a sodomite, okay? Is that a smart thing to do to the one you're going to be standing before in Judgment Day?
Absolutely not. I mean, the scariest thing to me is in verse 28, the gist of it is, if you give up and you give in, God gives you over to it. He gives them over to it.
So it says he gives them over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah, to that evil, wicked stuff they do.
And he gives them up to their vile affections, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so then when are they going to find out about the certainty of hellfire?
When they're in it, basically.
Is there any getting out?
No.
No getting out, is there? Uh-uh. Now, we were talking about over in First Corinthians or First Timothy chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul referred to the vain babblings and science so falsely so-called. How would you, John, would you describe the way that they talked about the masks, how these masks help us, how these masks doing, are these shots, how these shots, and like Biden says, if you get the vaccine, you won't get the COVID. How do you think? Do you think those could be referred to as vain babblings?
Well, absolutely. That could be the definition of it, Pastor Ernie. You really hit the nail on the head when this whole thing started with masks. Remember you had those paper masks that said that right on the box?
Yeah, well, we got, yeah. That's yeah. What and they said right on there, they will not, these will not stop the spread of any virus.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And the, what do you call it, the CDC also said that masks did not prevent the virus, from catching a virus. And yet, to promote their agenda and to try and bring us under, to break us and bring us under control of them, all of a sudden, you had to wear the mask.
Well,
there's no scientific evidence. Pastor Ernie, the viruses are so small that if there was a mask that blocked out viruses, we wouldn't be able to breathe.
I used to sell them, John, when I sold medical supplies before I retired, and that was many years ago, but that's long before, and you're absolutely right. The pinhole in the mask will not let you breathe. If you block a virus, you can't do it. It's that small.
Let me ask you this then, because on those boxes when you used to sell them, they were made in China, and not only that, but they told you right on the box, it said these will not stop the spread of any virus, okay? But they also said masks will protect up to 4 splashes of blood, up to 4 splashes. So,
well, that's what they wore them for, was for things like when you hammer down a joint into a prosthesis into a joint, the blood splatters back, obviously, so it gets back in. So it's more for the gross type of particulate matter.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I wondered, I know what a splash is, but yeah. I'm just wondering, how do they measure? In other words, is there a definition that would describe what a splash is? So I wanted to know that. So I went and I asked these three doctors, and they said, you know what? There's no measurement. We don't know.
Right.
All three of them said the same thing. So there you go. So
Pastor Ernie, also those masks I could see why, like, landscapers would wear them if they're working in dust and dirt and getting a lot of grass blown up in their face and pollen and all. Those masks will stop that. They'll stop that.
Yeah, they will, but you have to change them about every 20 minutes because if you don't, if you don't change them, they become toxic.
Yes, they do.
And so you have to change those things.
But the hypocrisy there, too, is that they let you wear either cloth or paper. And my point is that, come on, the particle size of the hole in the mesh of those two things are quite different.
Well, then not only that, but, that other man, the one that they said worked, doesn't. We just did the article on the M95. It does not stop a virus.
It
does not, no. But here's the thing.
Now, Pastor Ernie, You know that, and the brother, I'm sorry, his name?
We don't know that. He just kind of wandered. No, that's, his name is his name is Randy.
Brother Randy.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Randy knows it, and I know it, and Fauci doesn't know this, and all these others in the CDC and the WHO and these alphabet organizations, they don't know what we know?
Well, they do on some days because, you know, Fauci has said how the mask will not stop, the mask will do you no good when it comes to stopping the COVID. But then he said the mask will do you, the mask will help you. You need to wear a mask. In fact, if the mask helps you, then you need to wear two.
You wear two, right.
So sometimes he knows it, but other times he don't.
Well, he also said that the reason he first said the masks were not useful against COVID, which is true, he said that the reason he said that was he didn't want to run on the masks where there'd be no masks left for hospital personnel and doctors. And all. That was his excuse. That was his lie. When the COVID first hit and people asked him, should you wear a mask? He said no. No, it was not beneficial.
John, I've got a theory. This is deep. Get ready now. This is deep, man.
I'm ready.
This is deep. Okay.
I'm brave.
Since we know and they know that the masks will not stop a virus at all, and we know, too, that these masks will act, absolutely, especially where it comes to little children whose noses are running and they don't change it in their daycare, cause these little children actually to get, you know, diseases and things. So we know, since they know, that they will not stop a virus, they will not do anything any good, then, now listen to this, these masks must be used for control purposes, to teach us to submit. So that we'll use them, if they're told, you must use the mask, you must get in lockstep, okay? So the whole point is just strictly for control purposes, right?
That's right.
Exactly, Pastor Ernie. But what's really bad about this is the there are still people to this day that wear those masks.
Well, they ride around in their cars by themselves with those masks on,
yeah,
too. They do.
Yeah, I'd like, you know, were some masks made, and right on the mask, right, it says, I'm stupid.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right on the mask, okay? And maybe if we could get some of those and give to those people we see wearing these masks, say, no, you're not supposed to wear this, and then hand it to them. If we tell them they're not supposed to, then they probably will, huh?
Exactly right.
And then when they run into each other out there and they say, well, your mask says you're stupid and my mask says I'm stupid, I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Ernie, if it's a breezy day, whether it's warm or cold, it's a breezy day, you're walking in the parking lot, you're walking in a park, whatever, why in the world would you wear a mask?
Well,
it shows serious inability to think rationally, to discern truth. I mean, they're like drones, you know.
But they're sheeple. They're sheeple, John, not people. Sheeple.
I know that. I know, but it's sad. It's really sad.
It is.
To see people.
Let me ask you this: then, if you had to be with Jessica Waters, would you want her to wear a mask? I mean, if she was to jump out at the gasoline station, jump out and scream at you, would you rather have her wearing a mask or not?
You're asking me?
We're on break.
Be right back. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right,
What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.